and to hear me when I call, he intercedes for me, working all things for my good, though trials may come. I have this hope, I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into life. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God. My God is for me, he's not against me. So tell me whom then, tell me whom then shall I fear? He has prepared for me great works to help me to complete. I have a hope, I have this hope. Goodness and mercy, they're gonna follow me, and I'll forever dwell in the house of my great King. No eye has ever seen all he's preparing there for me. Though trials may come, I have this hope. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God. There's still hope for me today. There's a reason why the curse of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness runs from light. There's a reason why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he's alive. Praise the King, death's defeated. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. There's a reason why our hearts can be courageous. There's a reason why the dead are made alive. There's a reason why we share his resurrection. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he's alive. Praise the King, death defeated. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he's alive. Praise the King, death defeated. Hallelujah, he's alive.
Without singing he's alive, is or he is, what is this? He's alive. Here we go.
I serve the Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long last air away. He lives, salvation to impart. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to
Easter to you. He has risen, and that's what we're celebrating this morning, and so thankful to see all of you. We have a lot of visitors here this morning, and there's a really good chance that I might not get to meet you or introduce myself to you. I'm so thankful you're here. If I miss you, please, if I've missed you already at the end of the service, please give me an opportunity to shake your hand and introduce myself to you. We're going to try to get visitor packets around to each new visitor, but hopefully we won't miss you. But if you would fill the card out that's in that packet and drop it, lay it right there in the pew when you leave, or lay it on the table when you leave, we would appreciate that. That gives us a record of your visit. It's a great day. We're looking forward to hearing from the choir. They've got a fantastic cantata put together. They've worked hard. They've practiced hard. And we look forward to hearing from them. And then we are going to, obviously we're going to have preaching, but it's going to be abbreviated to some extent. But we're still going to get you out of here in a timely manner. So we're going to go ahead and get right to it. We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer right now, and then we'll turn it right over to Brother David. And Clay Means, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we present the glorious cross.
This was God's plan from the beginning. Break the chains of sin. Set us free so we can restore to Him alive in Christ forevermore.
Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living.
Awakened to the sound of redemption song sung by people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Though crowned with thorns by his accusers, we sing of a Redeemer who wears the crown of victory with all dominion, power, and glory his. Crown the Lord of life, our eternal, matchless King.
Of him who died.
know that Jesus suffered and died on a cross to secure our salvation, we rejoice in the knowledge that followed his death. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we might walk in newness of life. Today we live our lives in a spirit of gratitude and praise for the truth and power of his resurrection. But let us never forget his suffering. While we are bathed in the light of his glorious resurrection, we also stand in the shadow of his cross. We know that it was for our sins we had done that he groaned upon that tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Before Christ was nailed to the cross, he endured unimaginable suffering, cruelty, and pain. He bore stripes of a savage beating delivered by Roman soldiers, scourging his back. They used torturous, multi-stranded whips laced with bits of bone and metal meant to cut and shred the skin of our Savior's back. He bled for us. They placed a purple robe on his shoulders, a cruel crown of thorns on his head, mocking him with words of scorn and derision. He was humiliated for us. They struck him. They spat on him, degraded him. Then they nailed him to a cross, drove a spear into his side as he willingly gave his life for our many sins. Let us all declare, along with the Apostle Paul, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Were it not for the cross, there would be no resurrection, no salvation, and no promise of eternal life. It is the power of the cross that frees us from our sins. His victory is our victory. Lord, we thank you for the cross. What kind of man was Christ? This question loomed large over him during his life on earth, the things he did and the things he said. Once, after he had spoken to the crowds during the Feast of Tabernacles, people came away saying, "Never did a man speak like this." Could he really be the Son of God, Messiah, the King of Kings? What kind of king would be born in a stable, born in a cattle stall, yet whose birth was proclaimed by heavenly hosts? What kind of king would submit to being crucified like a criminal, hanging on a cross in shame? What kind of man? The same kind of man who was crucified while the criminal Barabbas went free, who offered grace and forgiveness, even as someone like Thomas doubted him, until he was able to touch the scars in his hands and his side, who shed blood brought salvation for someone like Peter, even though Peter three times denied knowing Christ. It was the same kind of man who willingly, lovingly gave his life on Calvary's cross for someone like me.
I am Barabbas, a rebel, a prisoner. Death was the sentence for me. Led before Pilate, I stood there beside him. This man some were calling a king. And as the crowd shouted, "Crucify him," the soldiers let me go free.
What kind of man, guilty of nothing, would suffer the shame and disgrace? Hang on a cross, despised and rejected, and willingly die in my place. At Calvary,
for someone like me.
My name is Thomas, for 3 years I followed. I saw every wonder and sign. They say he has risen, that his grave is empty, but I can't believe he's alive. Now standing before me, Jesus shows me the scars in his hands and his side.
What kind of man embraces a doubter, lovingly drawing me near? I don't have to wonder if I've been accepted. He settled the worry and fear. At Calvary,
for someone like me.
My name is Peter, I knew him and loved him, but oh how I failed him that night. I promised Jesus that I'd never leave him, I'd willingly lay down my life. But there at his trial, I stood by the fire and denied him three times.
What kind of man pours out his mercy on someone who stumbles and falls, with no way to earn it, no way to deserve it? Forgiveness still came after all. At Calvary, for someone like me.
I have been Thomas, the doubter redeemed.
And I have been Peter, yes, I've been all three. What kind of man pleads for the worthless and saves him whatever it takes?
What kind of man would rescue the sinner and offer a for someone like me? Someone like me.
is for someone I need.
Following the death of Jesus, they took his body down from the cross, wrapped his body in linen, and laid him in a borrowed tomb. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee took the spices they had prepared and went to his tomb. There they found a stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, in clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
Thank you.
Amen. Fantastic job, choir. And thank you, David. Thank you, Brad. Brad's got the voice, doesn't he? He's got it. He's made for this. So glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get right to it. Father, thank you for the time we have together. Thank you so much for our choir. People have worked so hard. They come up here and practice each week, Lord, and spend their extra time, Lord, devoting to praising you, Lord, and ministering to our church through song. Thank you for David. Thank you, Lord God, for everybody that helps with this cantata. And we just appreciate your word this morning, Father. We just ask that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us and challenge us and teach us and help us to become what you want us to be. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Today, of course, we know we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most monumental event in human history for the believer. Why is it such an important event for us as Christians? First of all, because by his overcoming death and rising again to live forever, he proved he was who he said he was. It showed us that he was, in fact, the Son of God. And secondly, we're excited about the resurrection because it gives us hope. It gives us assurance, the hope and assurance that we've been looking for and that we need, that, hey, we're going to live beyond the grave. That's what we're all wanting. That's what we're all after. We want to know that when we leave this world, that we're going to go into eternity to live forever. Now, let me just say this. We've turned to Matthew chapter 27. In this chapter, we're going to end up in the graveyard, okay? But before we do, first we want to stop at the cross. In verse 50, we're going to see that our Lord Jesus Christ is hanging upon the cross. With him hangs the sins of all mankind, and he has done what his purpose is. He's come and he's been a sacrifice, he's been a substitute, he's been a redeemer. He's accomplished what nobody else could accomplish. As the perfect Son of God, he has atoned for our sins. And we find that in verse 50. Let's read it together. He says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. The Lord Jesus is now dead at this particular place in Scripture, which is going to take us to the next step, and that's the cemetery. So let's pick up in verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in a rock. And he rolled a stone to the door over the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and another Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So now the Lord, he's dead. He's gone and now been laid in his tomb. That's where we find him, there in the cemetery. And we have the two Marys there come to grieve, if you will, the loss of their friend and their Savior. And the remainder of chapter 27, if we were to go on and read it, it tells us about the concerns of the chief priest. It tells us that they were, the chief priest and the Pharisees were concerned that someone might come steal the body. They were afraid someone might come and take it away, and so they took steps to watch over the tomb and make sure that that didn't happen. And chapter 27 ends with these words, verse 66. So they went and made the sepulcher, the grave, sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So here we go. We're at the cemetery. He's in the grave. The stone's been rolled over the grave. It would seem that this was the end of the story. The body in the ground, it seems that the cemetery, it's all over. Folks, I've done this hundreds of times, I guess, now, over the 23 years that I've been a pastor. Someone dies. The family makes arrangements for a service. The church feeds the family. We have a funeral or a memorial service right here in the auditorium. We go to the graveside. We lay the body in the ground, and people begin to slowly dismiss with hugs and condolences, and they go home, and it would seem that the story is over. It would seem that it has all ended there at the graveyard, similar to the way it has ended in this chapter in Matthew. But I'm happy to tell you this morning that there are 28 chapters in Matthew. And the last one is the best one, because it's the chapter that tells of our Lord's resurrection. But before we go to the resurrection in chapter 27, let's stay at the graveyard for a minute and let's talk about this for a few more moments, because there's some things that need to be considered here. This chapter is something that we're all going to face. We're all going to have a chapter 27 experience, if you will. In other words, the good news here is I'm telling you folks, you're going to die. Okay, you say, I got up on Easter morning, I got put on my pretty dress, and I dressed up to come to the house of God for you to tell me I'm going to die. Well, it's part of the truth, okay? We're going to get to the good stuff in just a moment, but we don't like to talk about death, do we? We simply don't like the subject. It's an unpleasant thing for most everyone. In fact, the effects of death upon the human body are so drastic and so bad that we do everything we can. We scramble and we fly into action when someone dies to try to put that situation out of our sight. We are typically, our practice would be when someone dies, to try to get that body in the ground and covered up with soil within 3 or 4 days. Is that not what we do? Then we want that grave, we want to get some green grass over it, we want to put a pretty stone over it. And all of this is taking place in a subconscious kind of way for us to hide the effects of death. To put it away from our side, make it look nicer, not look so devastating. And even before we get to that point, in that time when someone dies, from the moment they die to the time we get them in the ground, we scramble around and take a whole lot of little steps to try to accomplish the same thing. We try to cushion the blow, if you will, just a little bit. When the body's found, what do? What's one of the first things they do? They pull a white sheet up over the body, right? Why do we do that? We're trying to brighten what would otherwise be a very dark situation. We're trying to disguise a little bit what has happened. Then the funeral director does his job, and you have the makeup, and you have the hair done, and you get the nice clothes picked out for that person, and in a very nice casket, as nice as we can afford. And within that casket, we put silky, very soft bedding so as to give the appearance of comfort for our loved one. And then we put beautiful flowers and we stack them all around that casket. And all of this is fine, folks. I'm certainly not objecting to any of it, but it tells a story. Death is really, it does really ugly things to the human body. It ravages it. It leaves it in the graveyard. And folks, it's something that will happen to every one of us. We dread it. We try to cover it up. We try to avoid it. We try to delay it for as long as possible. What do? We look both ways when we cross the street. We put on our seat belt. We buy cars with airbags. We take our medication. We go to the doctor. We eat right, maybe exercise a little. Maybe not so much. But we try to do things that will make us last longer. It's all because we're trying to put off the chapter 27 experience. You get the picture. Whether we do it thoughtfully or not, we're trying to some extent to avoid death. But folks, it can't be avoided. And if you're any age at all, here this morning, you'll know with myself that the evidence is stacking up that we're on our way. It's most of mine's stacking up right here, right above the belt line there, and the evidence is in stack. You know, it's funny for the men it comes up, and for the women it goes down. we have this evidence, and the men's legs. You never notice it, fellas? I don't know why it has to happen this way. Our legs get like little sticks in their upper body bills. Roy's going to show us what we're headed towards here. I want to show you what here's what we're going to look like, fellas. Maybe not. There you go. There you go. There's Kildee. That's what we're headed towards, men. But anyway, we've got the evidence is stacking up. We are on our way to a chapter 27 experience. Everybody's going to go through it. But praise be to God, it doesn't end in chapter 27. It does not end in the graveyard. I want you to look across the page with me to chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was like snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel of the Lord said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said, Come and see the place where they lay him. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, chapter 28 is the most exciting chapter in your Bible. We find that death could not hold our Lord. He conquered it forever. So through him, we have eternal life. We're going to go through that process we talked about. Okay, nobody's going to bypass that. But we're going to die physically. We're going to shed that body. But the result of that is, as Christians, our soul and our spirit are going to go straight into the presence of the Lord. Is there life beyond the grave for the person who rejects Jesus? Yes, there is. For the person that rejects Jesus, they too will live through eternity, but they will live through eternity apart from God. That's not at all what any of us wants. But when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the person who knows Christ Jesus as their Savior, the grave is not the end, but it's rather a beginning of eternal life with God in heaven. So my prayer this morning for you is this, that you have secured that eternal life. We have a term that we use upon the death of a loved one. It's called arrangements. You hear it said, when's the funeral? Well, they haven't made the arrangements yet. We've got to meet with some people and make the arrangements. You see, the arrangements are made with the funeral home and the funeral director and the pastor of the church, perhaps, and the church leaders, perhaps, maybe whoever else might be involved. All these arrangements are made, which really involves just determining how we're going to what's going to be done with the body. That's what it amounts to. As far as a funeral or a memorial service or a burial or a cremation, we make the arrangements. But there's one arrangement that cannot be made for the dead. It's an arrangement that had to be made by that person while they were still living. And that's the arrangement for their soul. Where the soul is going to go, where the soul is going to spend eternity. And it all boils down to what you did with Jesus Christ. Have you made those arrangements this morning? Have you already got this nailed down that you know when we go to the graveside and put your body to rest, that that's not the end of it, because the person inside you, the real you, the soul and spirit of you, is going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity? Do you know that this morning? As Brother David comes and our musicians, lest someone leave here this morning thinking, well, I can avoid this matter altogether. I just won't think about it. I just won't. I'll cross that bridge down the road. Well, let me just say this. If we have neglected to make arrangements for our soul through Jesus Christ, by default, arrangements have already been made for us. They've already been made. The soul will go into eternity apart from God. That's not at all what any one of us would want to experience. As we stand this morning, I'm going to ask you to search your heart. I invite you, go ahead and stand, folks. And I invite you, if you're that person that's here and you say, you know, Brother Chris, I haven't made those arrangements. My soul is not redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't go to heaven if I went to the graveyard. My soul wouldn't go to the heaven. I would invite you this morning to do something about that. I would invite you this morning to come and talk to me at this altar, or to come by and when we dismiss from here, and when you're shaking hands, say, Brother Chris, I'd like to talk to you. Because, friend, there would be no more important thing take place on this Easter Sunday than for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have arrangements made for your soul in eternity. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, God spoke into your heart, you come. Maybe you want to come to this altar for some other reason. You're welcome here and come pray before the Lord and worship. Praise Him because He is risen. God spoke into your heart, you come.